Welcome everybody today to Christian Assembly. I'm so glad that you joined us. We're going to worship our God together. Let's play. Let's sing, Who Breaks the Power?
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
This is amazing grace.
This is amazing grace. You've done for me.
Who brings
our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Who rules the nation?
With truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
This is amazing grace.
This is amazing grace. Defense.
hills in order stood.
Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her friend. From everlasting thou art God, to endless years
the same. A thousand ages.
A thousand ages in thy sight.
Of our praise today, so we celebrate our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. And this weekend as we celebrate Father's Day, we remember our great Heavenly Father, our perfect one. He is the definition of what it means to be Father. Sometimes we do it the other way around. We think that we put the Father label on God when really God is Father. And what our fathers are supposed to look like, are supposed to be a reflection of who He is. He is our helper, the Bible says. The Bible says that He will send His Holy Spirit to help. That's good news for someone who needs help. If you're like me, that's good news today, that our God is a helping God. And we're going to continue to worship as we sing the story of redemption together. The song is called King of Kings, and I just love it so much because we sing about the whole story of redemption that we get to be a part of, a story that we stepped into that one day will be brought to completion in Jesus Christ. So we're going to sing this song, King of Kings.
Praise forever to the King of Kings.
kingdom.
To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost. To redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died.
We sing praise the Father.
That stone was ruled for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who come to the Father
and the Church of Christ.
And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not fade. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Praise the Father.
What a wonderful name it is.
favorite part. We declare death could not hold you, because death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. 'Cause you have no rival, 'cause you have no equal. 'Cause now and forever, God, you reign. 'Cause yours is the kingdom, 'cause yours is the glory, 'cause yours is the name. Praise the Father, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of.
So great to be with you, my CA family, any visitors or guests. What an honor to be together. Well, last week we shared that we were going to unfold over the next several weeks six helpful actions to help us restore what God is doing among us. You know, as we transition back indoors, one of the number one questions that people kept asking me and other pastors out of excitement is like, what can I do to be helpful as we walk out this fresh season? And as I've been praying about that, the Lord led me to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And even there, they decided to restore the house of the Lord. Now, they were restoring a physical structure. But so many, when you've asked, you've been asking more about just the spiritual community that we're building that is the church. And last week, we talked about helpful action number one is to renew ourselves and decide to be a community of prayer. This week, I want to call you to helpful action number two, which is that when you're ready, if you're local, I want you to join us for weekly worship indoors in person. Now, I know a number of you are seeing this indoors already, so the emphasis for you is going to be to join us weekly, because we want to be gathered together to celebrate the goodness of God every single week. Others of you are seeing this online, and I just want to encourage you, if you're local, when you're ready, to join us. We all know there's a million of those little intangible things that happen when we gather together in person, where God uses us or speaks to us in a deep way that might be different than what we experience online. So I want to encourage you, when you're ready, to join us weekly. Also want to let you know that, of course, we're going to continue the online service as well. And so maybe for those of you that have been with us indoors, you're going on a vacation this summer, join us weekly and be online for that gathering. So helpful step number two is to be gathering weekly in worship, and when you're ready to do that, indoors with us.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ralph. It's been so good worshiping with you today. And thank you, Tom, for that encouraging word to us. Before I go any further, let me start our time with a prayer. Father, thank you for this online service. Thank you for the word we're about to hear. Father, would you grace every hearer with wisdom and discernment, that they might hear the things that you have specifically for them. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, happy Father's Day to all the dads who are watching us today. And welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you have joined us. And a special welcome to any guests or visitors who are with us today. Well, it's been so good to have our indoor services resume as we now have three service times, all of them in our South Sanctuary. We're meeting Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sundays at 9 and 11:15 a.m., and you no longer need to RSVP to attend. Also, a few updates in light of Governor Newsom's updated COVID guidelines, which were released on June 15th. We are no longer asking for social distancing or masks in any of our weekend services or other in-person gatherings, including students and kids' church. We know that some of you will be more comfortable continuing to wear masks, and we want to let you know that's okay, and while others will not be comfortable wearing masks, and that's okay too. Both are acceptable. We're not going to make a big deal about either, and we ask that as you come to church, you would respond with that same grace to your brothers and sisters as well. If you haven't yet joined us for in-person services, we miss you, and we would love to see you. So come join us next weekend. Kids Church Virtual VBS is coming soon. Every week in July, you'll receive an email with a link to that week's program. There will be one for the elementary and one for the preschool kids. The program includes games, crafts, worship, a fun Zoom call, and tons of good stuff. All the supplies that your kids will need are included when you sign up. You can go online for more information and to register. If you'd like to give today, you can do so online through our Christian Assembly app or our website by clicking on the Give tab. Thank you again for your ongoing faithfulness and generosity. And now let's continue in our worship as we hear our sermon today from Matt Price.
Well, hi, my name is Matt, and it's an honor to have this time with you. We've been in a series called No Matter What, a study in 1 Peter, which was a letter written to encourage people who were discovering that trusting Jesus was leading to a lot of change in their lives. Do you like change? How do you feel about change? Change always seems to come along with challenges, at least it seems to in my life. I've heard lately a lot of people talking about the new normal. Have you heard people talking about that? I have to admit to you that I hate that phrase. For one thing, it sounds like an oxymoron to me. Anything that is normal is not new. I think we should call it something like the new different, maybe. Maybe that would be more like what we're experiencing, the new different. I was doing the best I could with the old normal, and now I'm having to adjust to the new different. We can change in big ways and small ways, and sometimes change can be wonderful. Sometimes it can be hard and difficult to live through. Well, Peter wrote this letter to people who were experiencing change because of their faith and commitment to Jesus. The people that he wrote this letter to had a lot of differences among them. One of the most important thing, though, about them was what they had in common, and that was their shared faith in Jesus Christ. And while their commitment of faith in Jesus was becoming the most important thing, the most cherished, most evident thing about them, at the same time, their whole understanding of life, who they are, what they're living for, what they're pursuing, all of that was changing because of their commitment to Jesus as Lord of their lives. It was in light of the truth and grace that they found in Jesus that they were beginning to understand who they were with Jesus, who he was making them to be, and this new life that he was producing in them. None of this was normal. It was all a new different. These made new, born again, growing, scattering, Jesus-following people of God, they were experiencing the nearness and power of God like never before. That was one of the changes. They were experiencing joy like never before, purpose and meaning like never before. That was some of the changes. Love and encouragement like never before. Trusting and obeying God's word like never before. And all of those changes, as wonderful as they were making them different. Different from their Roman background, different from their Jewish background. They didn't fit in Rome. They didn't fit in Israel or Jerusalem. Sometimes following Jesus seems more like living like a foreigner, like a temporary resident, like any immigrant population. There's pressure to assimilate to the dominant culture. But the more committed that these people became to Jesus, the more they seemed to live against the grain. And that can still be true, will be true, in fact, for all who follow Jesus. He produces new life in us, and that new life is full of change. And it leads us to be different. So Peter writes to encourage them. Yes, trusting Jesus to be Lord of your life will result in you being different, distinct, a standout against the grain. Do you know that trusting Jesus as the Lord of your life will lead you to experience changes throughout the rest of your life? In chapter 4, Peter points out ways that following Jesus makes us different. And I want you to hear what he says. Look at what he writes here in chapter 4, beginning in verses 1 and 2. He says, "So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too." There's some change there. "For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you've finished with sin." Some things in your life are not what you're giving your attention to anymore. Some things are finished in your life. You won't spend the rest of your lives, Peter says, chasing your own desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. This is the new life that Jesus offers us. This is the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus to life, the same power of God that can make all things new. Paul says, "The old is gone. Behold, the new has come." He's talking about old ways of life dying away as we deliberately repent and turn away from those things, away from old patterns, away from old preferences, away from old habits, and we turn to Jesus and trust him to lead us with the help of God to live new lives. Peter knew that change was a topic Jesus talked a lot about. And those who spent the most time with Jesus, they experienced a lot of change. In fact, Peter's name changed. His family and friends called him Simon. That was his name until Jesus started calling him Peter, which was a Greek word for rock. I don't know how long it took for that name to catch on with others, but eventually, no one called him Simon anymore. Everyone called him what Jesus called him. And as a result of his faith in Jesus, Peter moved to new places. Peter ate new foods. Peter made new friends and made new enemies. People were always changing around Jesus, and they still do. People were always becoming what Jesus called them, and we still do. Jesus called guilty people forgiven. He called captive people free. He called sick people healed. Jesus even called dead people alive, and they lived again. Whatever Jesus called people, as they trusted him, they became what he called them. Their lives were made new. They were different. They were changed. Jesus is what made the difference, and being made new by him comes with new desires for God's will. It's not some type of an outward change of religious routine or behavior or something like that. The change that Jesus produces in our lives starts deep in our souls where we desire, where we want. Look back at what Peter writes beginning in verse 2 again. He says, "You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires. You'll be anxious to do the will of God." You've had enough, he says, in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties and their terrible worship of idols. Verse 4, Peter says, I love this statement, "Of course your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. And they might even slander you. They might even talk about the ways that you've changed. They might even tell others that they're not really happy about all the ways that Jesus is making you different." I love that Peter acknowledges that truth, that reality. The change that Jesus produces in us is real. It's so real that it changes what I want, and it changes how other people experience me, what they observe about me. Why would my friends who knew me before I turned to Jesus, why would they wonder what was happening to me? Because we don't want the things we used to when we've experienced life with Jesus. There's something new that is taking place in us. And so if you consider what you desire for a moment, what do you pursue in life? What appetites do you seek to satisfy in your life? What ambitions are you striving to reach, or goals that you're working toward? Is there evidence in any of that that Jesus is making you new? Do you seek to know God's will because you want God's will above and beyond any other desire? If you trust Jesus to give you the new life he offers you, do you have any new desires to please God? Peter gives us this kind of assessment, this assessment of our soul, to ask ourselves, is this becoming true of me? Peter was a fisherman when he met Jesus. And there's no evidence in Peter's story that he wanted to be a preacher or wanted to be in church ministry of any kind. Peter wanted to fish and live a comfortable life. Jesus had to get into Peter's fishing boat and go fishing with Peter to convince him that what Jesus offered was better than fishing. And in that fishing boat with Jesus, Peter experienced the power and the grace of God in such a way that this fisherman left his nets to follow Jesus and to find out what new life might he experience with Jesus, what new desires, what new ambitions might he discover with Jesus. We recently got to witness a couple of men get baptized in our church, two friends of mine, Joe and Marco. And I'll never forget when I first met Joe. He told me he was curious about Jesus because he was in the process. He was becoming, he said, a new Joe. That's what he told me. He was taking, in fact, a Pilates class, and he told his instructor that he was taking that class because he wanted to make some changes in his life. And his Pilates instructor was a follower of Jesus, and she said to him, "If you want to change, you should come to my church sometime." Her church happened to be Christian Assembly. Well, Joe did want change. And so Joe came to Christian Assembly. He came and he visited because he wanted a new way of life. And someone told him, "You can find a way to live new if you hear the message that's being preached at Christian Assembly." What message is that? It's Jesus. It's the new life that Jesus offers us. And so Joe began to come to services. He started attending our weekend services just a couple of weeks before we had to cancel the indoor services and started everything online. And that's about the time that I met him. That's when I met Joe in a series of Zoom calls. And he told me, as we began to talk, he said, "This is all part of the new Joe." He used that phrase. And I told him, "Joe, that is exactly what Jesus offers all of us." Over the course of the year, Joe came to realize that. Joe came to understand that Jesus could make us new and lead us in new life, new in ways that we couldn't make happen on our own. That's the power of the resurrection. And so as Joe began to live by faith and he began to trust Jesus to make him new, Jesus is making him a new Joe. And little by little, his life is changing. New Joe is a different Joe. That's what Jesus offers all of us. He makes us different by making us new. Anyone who accepts Jesus as Lord is going to change. And that change might be swift or it might be slow. It might knock you on your back like it did Paul, or it might be more like Peter. It might take years to become who and what God calls you. But one thing is very certain. If you accept Jesus as the Lord of your life, you can expect some change. And you can expect some change that begins deep in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, and becomes evident in your attitudes and in your actions. Some of you know this. Some of you used to want to digest anything you could to escape the feelings that haunted you. But now, with Jesus, you want the power of God to heal your wounded soul. Some of you used to accept that you were just a fearful person. It's just who you were. You just thought, "That's who I am, and I'm never going to change," until the love of Jesus convinced you that you don't have to be a slave to fear. Now you want to trust God to give you peace to calm your worried mind. Some of you used to want to make money for all that you hoped it would give you, until you began to trust Jesus and to see what was possible by the power of God in this world. And now you want Jesus to lead you in a new life and with new desires, to give your money away as fuel for ministries that serve God's purposes and glorify His name. Jesus makes us different by making us new in giving us new desires for His will. One of my favorite shows to watch these days, I discovered it on Netflix sometime in the last year, and it's a show called The Repair Shop. Maybe you've seen this show. It's kind of like the Antique Roadshow meets Extreme Makeover, if you've seen those two. So people bring their stuff to this shop in hopes that their stuff can get restored to its original glory. And at the shop, there are amazingly gifted people. There are engineers and carpenters and welders and artists and tinkerers and seamstresses. And so there are all these people there ready to receive this stuff. People bring all kinds of old stuff that's been passed down to them from previous generations. Stuff that you'd probably throw out without thinking twice. But to them, to these people, this stuff's their treasures. Their grandfather's old radio, their childhood teddy bear, their grandmother's flower pot. And they bring this stuff in horrible condition. The flower pot's broken. The teddy bear looks like it's been in the bottom of a lake. The radio is in pieces. And you wonder, why did they hold on to this stuff in the first place? And then they look at these experts when they bring it into the shop. They look at these experts with almost a kind of expression of embarrassment on their faces as they hand the stuff over, like, I know I should have taken better care of this, but anything you can do would be better than the way it is now. But once all of those broken pieces get left there at that shop and get left in the hands of an artist, of an expert, it is amazing what they can do. My favorite part of the show is actually not the big reveal at the end. In fact, sometimes I just skip over that part because my favorite part is watching the change take place piece by piece in the process. It's the process of figuring out what they really have in their hands and what it should be. Sometimes they have to scrape off layers of grease and paint and old glue, and sometimes they have to build new parts to replace pieces that went missing long ago. Sometimes they have to build or have to call on experts outside the shop who can come in and help. But nothing in the repair shop remains the same. It all gets fixed. No matter what has to be done to fix it, it all gets changed. In the right hands, everything gets made new, no matter what. The good news of God's word is that life, your life, surrendered in the hands of Jesus, gets made new, no matter what. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, we might even feel a slight embarrassment as we offer our lives to Jesus in used and bruised pieces, like, I know I probably should have taken better care of this, Jesus. But His hands are so capable. And in His hands, that's the best place for the broken pieces of your life to be left. Because in His hands, what is broken gets made whole. In His hands, everything gets made new. You're not the same. You won't be the same. Change is the name of the story of the power of Jesus Christ to make you new. It will make you different. It will give you different ways of living, different desires that you live with, but it's all part of God's glorious plan for you to make you new in His love. And so I want to encourage every one of us to trust his hands, to surrender your life no matter what. Yeah, people are going to look at you and go, why don't you live the way you used to? Why do you do things different than you were? Hey, that's not the way we do things. Hey, that's against the grain. And our response is, he's making me new. And he can make you new too. His plan is to make this whole world new. One broken life at a time. Will you trust him? Will you trust him to make of you what only he can? Let's pray together. Lord, we do turn to you, knowing full well that like those people with that stuff in the shop, we wish we would have been more careful. We wish we would have made choices different. We wish we could make ourselves something that we aren't. But that's why we've come to you, Lord. That's why we look to you. And if you've never trusted your life in his hands, you can do that right now. You can just say, Jesus, make me new. I want to experience the power of the resurrection. I want to experience forgiveness for sins. I want to experience the freedom that comes in new life with you. And I believe that as we call out to him, as you call on the name of Jesus, he begins to make you new. In fact, I want to ask you to contact us. The email address is on the screen. You can contact us or the website and let us know that you're living a new life with Jesus. And for all of those who are following Christ, don't let anything stop you, because there is more to come. There is more new life to come. There is more new power from Jesus Christ to come in your life. There is grace that you have not even reached the end of. And so keep trusting him in Jesus' name. And let's say together, amen.
And Christ is my reward in all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. Through every trial, my soul will sing, no turning back. To God be the glory.
Thank you for being with us today. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service or would like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, let us know so that we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us or go to our webpage, which are both listed below. And now let me close our time together with this benediction from 2 Peter. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. God bless you. We'll see you next week.